Chinese stock market falls, but this time official media are silent there. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In early trading, we had the Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 70 points, S&P 500 essentially flat, the NASDAQ Composite down a bit. But we also need to focus on the key index in Shanghai, falling about 8% today. Now, if the Dow fell 8%, that'd be about 1,400 points, and that would get your attention. The CSI in Shanghai is still up about 106% over the last year, but it's interesting to try to figure out what Chinese officials think about the latest plunge. On Fridays, we consult Christopher Lowe, Chief Economist at FTN Financial. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So when the Chinese stock market tanked earlier this year, the voice of the Chinese government, the Xinhua News Agency, said what?
They reassured. They said there was still plenty of upside, and they did it not once but twice when the market sold off in January and again in April.
But when stocks in China tumble hard again today and in recent days, the voice of the Chinese government says what?
Crickets. Absolutely nothing. At this point, the market's been selling off for 2 weeks. The absence is notable. At first, stock analysts were saying, don't worry, they'll be back with a comment shortly. They're beginning to realize that maybe the government is no longer putting its stamp of approval on the rally.
Now, Greece, the International Monetary Fund and EU creditor countries have been pushing for Greece to cut pensions, raise tax collections. The Greeks aren't budging on this, a deadline tomorrow. But talk surfacing of revisiting the issue 5 months from now?
Oh, man. You couldn't ask for a worse deal for the markets because it's another one of these temporary fixes. And then we get everybody back together in November trying to negotiate something permanent. We'll see. We'll see if it's even accepted.
Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you.
You're welcome, David.
The U.S. 10-year Treasury yield is up sharply to 2.45% now, with uncertainty over Greece's future and a reflexive flight to the perceived safety of bonds with apparent terrorist attacks on a beach in Tunisia today and an attack on a U.S.-owned chemical plant in eastern France. Meanwhile, our European correspondent Stephen Beard has been filing from Athens, looking at how the debt and austerity mess is playing out in Greek lives. Today we meet Nick Voglis, owner of a small sandwich bar in Athens.
So when we make our sandwiches, we have produced our own French baguettes.
Greek-born, U.S.-educated Nick Voglis opened this store in the 1990s, selling gourmet sandwiches.
Basically, a little bit of mayonnaise, a little bit of dill, a little bit of onions.
His dream was to expand into a national franchise. The reality today, just one store and a business that's shrinking.
By the peak, we were employing 7 employees, and now we employ only 1, and that is a part-time employee.
Sales are down 40% in spite of his energy and attention to detail.
We wrap it up, we'll slice it in half. And why do we slice it crosswise? So you can take your first bite without opening your whole mouth.
And in spite of his pride in the product.
This is a gourmet sandwich, sir. Everything homemade and everything from scratch. You have to love what you do.
His sandwiches are delicious, but Nick's opinions may be hard for his fellow Greeks to stomach. He blames the decline of his business partly on the dire state of the economy due to a flaw in the Greek character.
Because the Greeks felt their entire life, everybody, someone else will pay for them. That's in reality what it is.
He's critical of Greece for joining the Euro club and then not abiding by the rules.
If you want to go join a tennis club, they tell you, okay, sir, you'd like to join our tennis club, that's great. These are the rules of our club. We want to be a part of a club without implementing the rules.
And he agrees with the creditors that Greece's bloated public sector must be cut back.
It's a major monster which has killed this country.
He's a fan of privatization after seeing what happened to Greece's sloppy, inefficient, state-owned telecom company after it was sold off.
They're wearing uniforms. They're polite. They answer the phone in a second.
That free enterprise mentality may work better somewhere like the US, but Nick wouldn't dream of shutting up shop and leaving his country.
I'm very proud, Greek. I love this place, and I think it's very sad what has taken place here.
In Athens, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
More perspectives from Stephen's series, Greeks in Crisis, are at marketplace.org. Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. Secretary of State John Kerry is in Vienna today for more nuclear negotiations with Iran. The deadline for a deal is June the 30th. Kerry has many tools at his disposal as he works with U.S. allies to convince Iran to curb its nuclear program. But how sharp are those tools? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look.
Kerry's sharpest tool? Sanctions that have taken a huge bite out of Iran's oil exports. It still exports some oil to a handful of countries, but oil payments can't go through Western banks. Gary Sick was on the National Security Council under Presidents Ford, Carter, and Reagan. He estimates Iran is owed around $40 billion.
Their money, they were paid that money to sell oil to these countries, but they can't get their money.
Sick says Iran is definitely feeling the pinch because the U.S. and allies in Europe, as well as China and Russia, support the sanctions. But that support could wither if Iran found a way to avoid Western banks. John Alterman is a senior vice president with the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Presumably, the Iranians would sell their oil at a discount over the global price. And if you could save $6 a barrel buying Iranian oil, there are people who say there's a lot of money in that.
Alterman says the sooner a nuclear agreement is reached with Iran, the better. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And France's interior minister moved today to legally crack down on the Uber car service, calling the company, quote, arrogant and cynical. French taxi drivers have been staging a nationwide protest against Uber, focusing in part on the fact that taxi drivers need a license that costs more than $100,000, something Uber drivers often don't have. An Uber official in France says the French government's actions today change nothing and that demand for its service in France will continue. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.